week we had three different principles. We said that someone who's a schir yom, someone who works hourly, a poel, a plain worker, like a babysitter you hired from 8 to 11, so that babysitter is allowed to quit. If we said that it might not be the proper thing to do, but in Choshen Mishpat, she is allowed to quit in the middle of the job, and she can collect her payment prorated according to the hours that she worked. Someone who's a kablan, he's being paid to do a particular job. We defined exact different cases that was. So then it depended. If he did not make a kinyan yet, there's no kinyan, so then he can quit, but then he has the lower hand, meaning that if you have to hire someone that it's going to be more expensive, he's going to take that loss. If he had made a kinyan, so then according to the shach, this is the third level, he allowed to force him to work. Right, those were the three levels we had last week. So I'm going to read you a case. This is a case that happened 100 years ago, 103 years ago. Shabbos Bereishis. It came up, the tough Reish Nun Zayin. And this Shiloh was asked to the Marshan, a real story that happened. There was a Shalchid in the city. And he had hired himself to be the Baal Tfila for Musaf in one of the shuls in the city. Right? He had agreed to be the Baal Tfila for Musaf. Then another shul came along and said, we need a Baal Shachris. Can you be our Baal Shachris? So he made a handshake, a kinyan, with the second shul and said, fine, I'll be with you for Shachris. He said, again, I'm hired for Musaf. Over there, I'll make it in time. There's no problem, and I'll down Shachris by you, and I'll go over there by Musaf. I mean, they were in big cities. This was, doesn't say what city it was, but it wasn't. He was able to make it in time. That wasn't the issue. So when the official heard about this, they were upset. They said, "Okay, so we didn't hire you for Shachris, but if you down Shachris somewhere else, by the time you get to us, you're going to be tired. Your voice isn't going to be strong, right? How can you hire yourself to Shachris over there? We need you here for Musaf. And we need you in full force." So he said, I'm sorry, I already made a deal too late. So he davened Rosh Hashanah Shachris at the first shul and walked over for Musaf in the second shul. But they saw that they were right in the first shul, and they saw by the time he got to Musaf, his voice was weak, he was shvacharei, and they said, nothing doing. If you want to try this trick on Yom Kippur, then you can't come here for Musaf. So he went to the second shul and said, I'm sorry, I have to quit. I have to quit Shachris by you, because otherwise they're going to fire me for Musaf over there at the other shul. Right? So he had hired himself to daven Shachris at shul number two, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, three specific times, and he quit in the middle. Right, we happen to know why he quit. He quit because the other shul was threatening him and twisting his arm. Right? He quit in the middle. He quit in the middle of the job. So, after Yontif, this shayla was written in Parshas Bereishis. So after Yontif, they asked the Marshan, the shayla, what halacha is, because they were fighting over there. The shul said, you know, you really ruined our Yom Kippur for us. Our shul number two said, you were under a Yom Kippur for us. Once you quit on us, we had to hire someone who, we would have never hired to start with. Doesn't have a good voice. He wasn't such a good chazan. We had to hire because you quit on us in the middle. Who can you hire for Yom Niroyim in the middle of Maseiros Meitshuva? The problem over there was that they didn't find someone in the end. They had a problem. And they said, we don't want to pay you anything. We should pay you for Rosh Hashanah. Who knows? I didn't say this, but they're thinking Yom Kippur, and you messed up a Yom Kippur tefillah. What's going to happen to us during the year now? We hired you for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You quit after Rosh Hashanah, and we had to hire someone who was inferior for Yom Kippur for our tefillahs. We don't want to pay you anything. And the Shliach Tzibur came back and said, not only should I get paid, I should get paid. You hired me for $1,000, say, and you got this guy to Bidiyeva at the end, you paid him $100. Not only do I want to get paid, I want to get paid the full $900, because you had originally hired me for $1,000, for all of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you got away hiring this cheaper guy for 100 for Yom Kippur, so I should get the rest of the 900. Right? So these are the extreme positions that they took. The Kehillah held, we shouldn't pay you anything, you should be punished. You quit on us in the middle. And the Baal Tzviyah said, it ended up at the end, you were Yotzei, you said Kedusha, you had Nisan HaTokav, you had everything, or Shachris, you had the Hashem Molochs, you had everything. You had your Tzviyah, your Yotzei, what do you want from me? And I should get paid for the difference. I shouldn't get the whole $1,000 because you had to pay $100 to hire this guy for Yom Kippur, but at least I should get $900. So that was the fight. So what do you say? It's based on these rules of Socher and Kabbalah, right? Socher, someone hired to work a specific kind of secrets, he's allowed to, he has the upper hand. Someone's hired to do a particular job, if he quits, he has a lower hand, or he's not allowed to quit. Was this guy allowed to quit? And if he was, how much money should he get? So I'd like to introduce a new sugya. Right, the Mishnah Bava Masiyah is talking about this, these halachas of quitting in the middle. The Mishnah says, Sachar es hachamar ves hakadar. If someone hired a donkey driver or a wagon driver, lahavi tripurin v'chalilim l'kala, to bring wood for a chuppah, flutes for a kala, olames, or for levaya, right? Even by the Jews, they would play music by levayas. That's what the Mishnah says. Or Poelin Lahalos Pishtonim in the Mishra. He had flax soaking in the water over there. And if you don't get it out in time, the flax gets ruined. It's a time-limited need. The Chodav Shavit, anything that would cause a loss. The Chazru Bahen, and the workers quit. Makam She'ein Sham Adam, when there's no one else there to hire, you have two options. Sachar Aleihen, you can hire someone else to finish the job. Alein, you can, meaning even if you have to pay more for that guy, you'll deduct it from the first person's salary. Or Matin, or you could trick them. Like the Gemara says, how's that, how do you hire someone, how do you trick them? So that's a Gemara, and the next thing on the handout. Ketan Matan, how do you trick them? If the original deal was you're going to make $1 an hour, and now you quit on me, you say, I don't care about your flats, I don't care, you're going to miss the chasana. By the way, in contemporary terms, we're talking about you hired a band for the chasana, or a caterer, and they call the morning of the chasana and say, sorry, we can't make it today. Right? The band says we can't make it. And the wagon driver, you know, we don't have wagon drivers, but we have people that we hire someone to carry something for us, and he quits in the middle and it's stuck there in the rain. Right? It's going to rain soon, and I hired you, I assume you're going to take, I got it out of the house, and it's waiting to be taken, and you, my piano, I'm moving, and you call up and say you can't make it, and it's raining, it's getting cloudy out there. Right? Those are contemporary examples. So we have two options, the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, trick him or hire someone else. How do you trick him? The original deal was, I'll give you $1 an hour. Okay, you want to quit? It's okay. So I'll tell you, I'll give you $10 an hour. Would that make you want to come and play the chasana tonight? $100 an hour, would that make you come? Good, so come. And they come for the $100 an hour. And at the end, you say, I fooled you. We're back to the original deal. $1, I hire you for $1. Play, you play, here's your $1. The second eitzah was, hire someone else, and that the Gemara says, how much can you hire that other person for? Even $40-$50 more than they had, right? The way the Shulchan Aruch says it. The Shulchan Aruch says, it's on the second page of the handout, the Shulchan Aruch says that if I had hired them for $1 an hour, it's Chesh Mishpat Shulam Gimel Sivav, two-thirds down the way, it says that I could take from whatever it will cost to hire these second people. If I'm holding some of their money in my hand, they gave me a deposit, they gave me something, I have their tools here, I can hold the tools and use those as collateral to hire other workers for no matter what it is. And then the muscle of the Shulchan Aruch says is, I can hire workers for $40 or $50 per day to replace this worker who I had hired to do the whole job for $3 or $4. Right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shach says, and this is the way he passes, he says, it depends. If you're just hiring someone else, he brings from the Rishonim, you're allowed. The first guys, you're going to pay $4, $400. The first band was $400. The second band, you could pay up to $800. And the first band will have to pay the difference of $400 that they cost you. Right? It's a big chiddush. Right? They reneged on you. You're going to mess up your chasana. You can hire someone else at twice the cost of the first people. And we say that since, and this is talking about they made a kinyan, they knowingly, quietly assume that they will pay for that amount of damage also if you have to hire someone else. But that's the way it normally is. If you have their materials, you have something of theirs in your possession, you can use that as collateral to hire someone no matter what it costs. And we're talking here within reason. Now, you can't go just, you know, call your friend up and say, yeah, I have a great deal, I can give you $10,000 for the chasana tonight. It has to be that it's within the normal reason that, you know, you don't have to make yourself a 1,000 calls. You call the first guy, he's willing to do it. If it's something within reason, so you can hire them based on these first people's salaries that they were supposed to be getting. Right? That's the first option. The first option is hire other people and go up to that amount. The second option is trick them. Right? So we ask how you trick them. It's should be us here. Yeah, excellent. I had Svarim that said it's Sarachim and there's no answer to this question. Then I saw today Devar Avram gives your answer. We said there are two options. One option is that you can hire other workers. Right? You can hire other workers even more than their value. So the Devar Avram says, if you can do that, so hire them, call them the other workers, and you'll pay them $1,000 for doing it. Right? You're paying them $1,000, except I don't have to pay them because whatever I pay them, the first workers, which are also then have to pay me the difference. So instead of me paying them $1,000 and taking $1,000 back, I'll just pay them the original price. Right? So you're not lying. I thought of an easier answer. I thought it's like Yaakov in with Lavan. Right? The pasuk says in Ikesh Titapo, if someone acts crooked with you, if you act straight with them, so then you're being crooked. You're dragged along his crooked ways. You have to act crooked with crooked people. I'm not saying this halach l'maaseh here. I said the disclaimer last week and... Right, so I'm just saying the Gemara. I'm not saying any advice to anyone. Anyone that wants advice should ask their own advice. The Gemara says, in any case, you're topless. So I thought that was the answer, but the postman didn't seem to like that answer, and the Devar Avram gives this answer, which I think it's a good answer. It's an interesting answer. Okay, so those are the two options, but how about a third option, right? Why can't we force him? Well, we said... Right, force him to work. Take him to a Din Torah, call up the Besdin and say, these guys I hired to play at my chasana tonight, and they just cut out on me. I have my piano sitting outside, and they just quit on me. Force them. Tell them that they have to do it. Just like we said last week, a kablon, under certain circumstances, if they made a kinyan, Bezin will force to do the job. Why not over here? You have time to call the Bezin. But anyway, the Shach pass means that you can't do that. He says you can't force someone to work for you. There was a chiddush enough last week where they made a kinyan already and they already started working, so there you can force them, but he says that's not an option over here. And most people agree with the Shach, you can't force them. That's not an option. So we're dealing with begging them, or tricking them, or hiring other people. Right? So those are the two options we have. Right? They're posting, talking about, suppose you put it in writing. Okay, I'll put it in writing that you get $10,000. So most people say you could still... I'll give you the $10,000 now. Right? I'll give you $10,000 to play my chasana, here's the cash. I'll give you cash. And halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, I have it on the handout that let them play, and then take them to the Din Torah, and the Din Torah will make them pay back the extra $9,500. Right? There's nothing you can, and there's no holds barred here. You can trick them, lie as much as you want, get them to do the job, because that's what the Rav was saying. They were hired to do this job. Get them to do it. Get them to do the job, and the money was original money that you had hired them for, and that's it. Right? And however, whatever you have to do to get them to finish. I just want to tell you a few other cases where we have in the poskim a davar ha'aver before we go back to our case. The Rama talks about a case from the Trumas Hadeshin. Someone had a live-in maid or a servant, right? Guy does all the things around the house, and they wanted to quit in the middle, right? So the Rama says, since a Baal HaBayis isn't able to wash the dishes himself, so that's called a davar ha'avud, and all these halachas would apply, right? The post can talk, what do you mean you can't do the dishes yourself? You really can. And the shach ends up, it depends, the dayan has to have his eyes in his hand. Hakol api eini hadayon, the dayan has to see whether this really was a davar ha'avud or not. The Trumas Hadeshin was talking apparently about a case which was, you know, there are people that, you know, if you have to work, you have a job, and you have this person in the house that's supposed to be keeping it clean for you, and then they quit, and you have company coming or something, and it's going to get messed up. It's going to be a bazillion, and we said it doesn't have to be monetary loss, it's just going to be a bazillion. You have company coming, so that's called a davar ha'avud. That's another case. The Ramat says a case of a Rebbe. How someone's hired to teach your child Torah, and he quits in the middle. So, what he's saying is, davar ha'avud, let him hire someone else. You'll get someone else. Just call a yeshiva and get someone else for your kid. Yeah, but what's going to happen in the meantime? The child's not learning. Every hour that he's learning, every 5 hours that he misses, it's a davar ha'avud. He's not going to get those hours back. So Rama says, if this teacher quits in the middle, you can do the same thing. Hire someone else on his cheshbon, or triple the rates and then say, oh, he fooled you, right? That's what the Rama paskins. But over here the Shach says, like, we have to also, this is the bottom line, you have to really see whether it's true. He says, you know, suppose it's during vacation time and the kid takes off 3 weeks anyway, or the kid anyway is a backflow and he's not learning well, so you can't use that as an excuse to, you know, maybe the guy quit because the kid's never learning. So you can't say, look at this year, my kid's not learning now because you quit. He wasn't learning anyway. He never showed up. Right? So there also, it depends. It depends on the real truth. If the child will be learning and the Rebbe quit in the middle, that his lack of learning, which is, it's a big kiddush, his hour that he's missing, it's called a davar ha'avud, because it doesn't have to be a monetary loss. That's what we're saying. It could be, you didn't have the flutes for the chasen, you didn't have the band for the chasen. That's called a davar ha'avud. So the same thing, the child not learning that hour, those few hours that it takes to hire someone else, that's called a davar ha'avud. The poskim say, if it's the end of this month, and, you know, this is the normal time to switch rebbes anyway, so then you have a few weeks till the next month to find someone, so then it's fine. We're talking where it was in the middle, and the child won't be learning for a certain amount of hours. The Ramah says one last case. You hired a sofer to write a Sefer Torah, and he's midway through. He's midway through the Sefer Torah, and he says, I'm quitting. So what's the davar ha'avud? Get someone else to finish up Devarim and Bamidbar. Because a Sefer Torah that's written with two different handwritings isn't so good. And if this one quits in the middle, and not only that, this we spoke about last week a little bit, but if the guy quits in the middle and you end up not hiring someone to finish it off, and you end up with half a Sefer Torah, which is useless, so he doesn't get paid anything because he didn't do anything for you. You wanted a Sefer Torah written by one sofer. He quit in the middle, and you're not even using it now, so he gets no pay at all. Right? So this sofer quit in the middle. He's not allowed to, and if he did, you can trick him, I'll pay you $30,000 to finish it, and then just give him the $5,000 that he's due. Or hire someone else and deduct it from his salary, or even up to twice the amount of what he was supposed to be getting. Now, we know that you don't mind having a Sefer Torah which has two different sofers writing it. For instance, you hire two sofers, you do from Bereishis to Vayikra, and you do from Bamidbar to Devarim, and the Bereishis guy quit in the middle, so then of course you can't say it's a davar ha'avud, because we see that you don't mind having two different sofers from there. So, once again, the dayan has to see what's really going on there, he has to see what the truth is. Once the truth is determined, then we can decide whether it's a davar ha'avud or not. One last fact before we go back to our case. Right, we said that the options over here in all these cases of davar ha'avud is hire someone else or trick him. Now, suppose you don't hire someone else. This is a big chiddush. Suppose you don't hire someone else. Right, you hired someone to teach your son his bar mitzvah parsha and you quit, and there's no one else in town that could teach the parsha, and yeah, there's half the parsha to go and there's only a month to go, and you decide that you're going to teach him yourself, right? There's no one else around, you're teaching him yourself. So the Pischei Choshen, that's this contemporary sefer that I'm using, he doesn't have any source, he just says on his own, he says, well, there's no difference if I hire someone else or I hire myself. I can deduct the price I'm going to give this tutor from the amount that I would pay myself. Well, I don't know if you can double it, but you can take a reasonable salary. You can take a reasonable salary and deduct it from his cost. And he can't say, well, look, you got the thing done anyway without me. What's the difference? No, yeah, but I had to take my time up, and my time is valuable to me. Okay, so let's go back to our case. Where the Marsham's case, 103 years ago, was the guy was hired to daven Shachris, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur at the second shul. After the first two tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, he quit on them, and they had to hire someone inferior for Yom Kippur. Is that a davar ha'avad? So the Marsham makes that conclusion, even though along the way there is a big issue, right? There's a halacha. If someone, we spoke about this in the last series, if someone damages a beautiful esrog, how much does he have to pay him to make up for that? So some poskim said, and under certain circumstances, well, the esrogs were a mitzvah, to the yotzi a mitzvah, you can buy him an esrog, then he'll be yotzi with. You don't have to get him a $10,000 esrog. Right? That's a big shayla in different shulas, different cases where you could be yotzi. If it's based on a gemara where someone was mazik a carbon, and it says he had a mahudik a carbon, and the gemara says he could just buy a cheaper one now in return, that's how much he has to pay him. So the Marsham says that's only when you're talking about damages. When you're talking about damages, then you could say, what did I damage you? You need to be yotzi a mitzvah. You could be yotzi a mitzvah this way, and I'll replace your damage. But when we're talking about that I hired you to do a job, I hired you to be my chazan. I hired you to be a shliach tzibur. And you quit, leaving me with no choice but to hire someone inferior. And now you want to get paid because that you want to get paid your full price. I could say that's a davar ha'avud. Just like the band not showing up, or an inferior band showing up, is a davar ha'avud. So an inferior shliach tzibur showing up is also a davar ha'avud. But that's what the Marsham says. According to some person, it's enough, yeah. Because he's yotzi the mitzvah. And the only reason not, and what's bothering you, is because a mahudah to get is something I could sell also. And it's worth $10,000. I could sell to someone else for $10,000. Right? So that's the only issue over there. But they talk about different cases like that, the carbon. Right? The carbon is, it's going to be shafted. It really belongs to Hetzish. I'm yotzi the carbon with a cheaper one. So here's the carbon you'll be yotzi with. Right? They talk about those cases. But the Marsham is saying over here, you don't even have to talk about this, because here, you're saying that I didn't cost you any loss. Of course I cost you a loss. You are stuck with an inferior Baal Tefillah here. And that's called a davar ha'avud. So the Marsham says, even though the second guy only charged $100 to do Yom Kippur, you don't have to give the Rosh Hashanah guy his whole 1,000 minus the 100. You'll prorate it. Whatever, you know, you first of all, you would have, he doesn't say it, but you would have had the right to say, we'll give you $30,000, you know, and just stay by us shachris and quit that job over there. I don't know about quitting, that might be an issue, but, you know, he could, or, right, because we could have tricked him. We couldn't force him. We say, you can't take him to it in terror to force him, that you can't do, but we could have tricked him and said, here's $30,000, and then afterwards say, okay, we were fooling you. And that would have been an Eitza. Once they did not, so he gets paid just for what he did, and he certainly can't take his yada is ala taftona. He has a lower hand here. He can't claim that, well, you know, he got three Yom Kippur okay. No, he got three Yom Kippur okay with not the quality that we wanted. That was the davar ha'avud. You cost us something. So then the Marsham says, so how about this shochet? He's a shochet, right? This guy was a shochet. So can you trust the shlita anymore? Like, what kind of guy is this? He goes and does a, he cost a davar ha'avud here. He did something that was wrong. Should his shlita be a problem. So the Marsham says you don't have to pass a shechita for that, because the halacha is wherever, this is in Hilchos Eidos, wherever the person thinks they're doing something right, even though it's an aveira, right? They do something on Shabbos which they think is a mitzvah, but it's really an aveira. The Shulchan Aruch talks about if they buried someone on Yontif. Yisrael buried someone on Yontif. They thought they were doing a mitzvah. That doesn't passel him for Eidos, even though he's a mechalel Yontif, because they thought they were doing a mitzvah. So same thing over here. He thought that when he hired himself out, he thought he could handle both. He thought that he could daven shachris over here and get to musaf over there, and there'd be no problem. With good intentions. He had an NUC that they really didn't, they needed him. He found out that it didn't work, so that's a mistake, that's an honest mistake, and he doesn't lose his shechita credibility for that. Just one last thing, and that this person can talk about also. Suppose when he hired himself out, and I almost said this case now, there was no one else available. But he's the chazan, and there was no one else available at the time. You hired this band and there was no one else available. You decided too late. It was a quick chazan, and there was no one else available. This was the last band around. There was the last movers available for that day to take your piano. And they quit on you in the middle. So you're going to say, it's a davar ha'avin. My piano's left out in the rain. My chasna's without a band. Our shul's without a chazan. But they can say, you didn't have a chazan anyway. You didn't have a mover. You didn't have a band anyway. Right, so that's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, but that also is a detaina, that if there was no option, I mean, there are chokim on that also, but the Shulchan Aruch says if there was no option and I stepped in to be your only option, so if I quit I would not be called a davar ha'avid, because without me also you had no one. What did I cause you any loss? Right, that's the case we're talking about. The normal case we're talking about where there were other options and now there are no options. If there are other options, that also is pashit. If there will be someone else to hire right now, a band would be here, so you call up the band and you don't have to pay him extra. You don't trick him. You just hire the band at the regular price and everything's fine. Like, I can find someone to replace myself with equal value. I'm working for you, I can replace myself. We're talking where there is no one else around. That's the davar ha'avid here. There's no one else to take the flax out of the water to play at the chasana. But they were available when I was first looking, so you caused me, I was tied up with you, and you caused me that loss. And if it's a monetary loss, so then Medina de Garmi, going back to the old halachas, if it was a monetary loss, these people, these employees who quit, would have to pay for any loss also caused. That's a Medina de Garmi. I was expecting you caused this loss over here directly. I mean, it's not a grammar. They said it's not a mazik, it's a garmi, because I was depending on you. That would be five years, Medina de Garmi. Okay, so next week we'll put one last wrinkle in this thing of quitting, and we'll talk about what happens if, right, we're talking when the person quit and he had no reason to quit. But suppose he got sick on the job, right, or there's some reason why he couldn't make it. Does that worker have any right to sick pay? So that's going to be next week's topic.